Father, we do thank you today for your good spirit. We thank you. We ask the mighty Holy Ghost to come, that he will show us the word of life. He will reveal to us Jesus and all that he is, all the love that he's given us. Thank you for the many gifts that you bestow upon us. And thank you for the plan that you have made even before we were ever born. Even before we stepped out into this world, you had a plan for us. You had a way of escape for every trouble, every trial. You have a way to heal when we have gone off and got ourselves hurt. Thank you that even when we made mistakes over and over and over again, you said a righteous man will fall 7 times, but the Lord will raise him up. And there's no stopping and no telling what a man will do who will believe you. So thank you that I believe you, that anything is possible for me. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise that I can sense your presence and joy, and I see faith, and I see love. I see in my future hope. Oh, there's a better things happening in the future. Thank you, Lord. I see them right now. I see all those things that you placed before me. Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you that we can see through all the troubles and trials. It's all been worthwhile. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for putting the Holy Ghost in me. Thank you for enabling me. Thank you for giving me a place in this world where I fit in, where I'm comfortable, where I mean something, where my life is important. Thank you for all these people that you place in my life. I give you praise for them and the many gifts they have and what you will do in their lives and how they'll work the things that you said that they would do. Thank you that you have a plan. And I thank you for this night. There is a plan for this night. There's a night of glory before us. There's a night of exchange. There's a night of change. There's a night of a new beginning. Hallelujah. So we give you praise tonight, for the faith will rise up in the people. Oh, Father, we thank you. There'll be no fogginess, but there'll be clarity and focus in the name of Jesus. And we lift our holy hands to praise you. And thank you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever and ever. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. We thank God for you. For you are good, your mercy endures forever. Well. If you turn in your Bibles with me, please, tonight, I'm going to look at a few scriptures. We have been studying last week, at least the last couple of times that I was ministering. We've been focusing on things, you know, this new year has turned over, and we want to go back to some of the basics of what makes us significantly us. We're called Faith City Church, and there are some things that we have a certain kind of vision that God has given us. I guess you wouldn't say it. Maybe there's a certain kind of vision that God placed for us to do. And there are things that we have to do, certain things that we have to put together. I'm trying to explain something, but I can't seem to get it right. But I believe that you're here because, you know, the scripture said, how many people know that in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, the Bible says that God put people together. God places the church together as it pleased him. God put you exactly where you should be. I was reading, you know, I believe it's the 17th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 26. The scripture says that God knew exactly where you're going to be living before you were ever born. He knew exactly where you'd be situated, your place of dwelling, your kind of significance, where you are to be placed. And I know that God placed you in our circle to be connected together. And wherever you're connected together, you know, your body, your physical body, for instance, you know, Paul uses that as a illustration, as a spiritual illustration to teach us things about what, you know, he uses natural things to show us spiritual truth. How many people can you say amen on that? And he'll show us different things. And Jesus was like that. He taught people's spiritual truth, but he used natural illustrations, you know, like water. He'll use like a seed. He'll use a plantation and mountains and so forth to teach about different things. And the scripture tells us that the church, when I say church, I mean those of people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, become born again into the body of Christ. The Bible says we've been baptized into the body of Christ. The Bible says, you know, baptized, the word baptized means to be put into. Everybody say baptized means to put into. So, you know, I was baptized in water. I mean, that's one kind of baptism. How many of you have been baptized in water? And if you haven't, we will immediately upon church this finishing, we could actually baptize you. But, you know, we were baptized in water, and we were put into under the water, and we rose up again. Well, that signifies what happened to us when we were born again. See, baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is just really an ordinance that we're called upon to do to signify that we've been saved, born again. You don't get baptized to be saved, and you're saved to show you're baptized in water to show that you are saved. Can you say amen? And so the Bible talks about when you got born again, spiritually speaking, now you have to understand, switch gears for a second, spiritually speaking, when you got born again, God placed you into his body, spiritually speaking. That means he took the Holy Spirit, took your spirit, and he dunked you into his body, spiritually speaking. So if you're born again, we're all brothers and sisters. Come on now, let me see you smile a little bit, because I don't know if you're mad at me or not. Are you mad at me tonight? No? Give me some love a little bit, eh? Okay, so I need some attention. I need some love, praise God. Smile a little bit. I'll go over here for a bit because these guys are smiling at me. Praise God. We're going to have a great time here, right? I think this is the most hilarious group right here. Amen? Right, Julie? Yeah? Your son over there, you know, he knows how to people that tell people to take off. I said, whose son is that? She said, praise God. But just to switch gears a little bit, I was just watching the news the other night, two nights ago, Robbie, and I was watching about what's going on in Abbotsford. I'm glad you're not there. A young man was murdered. I think there's a second murder in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. A third one, and I wanted to see if Robbie was still here. and you know, I don't know if you know Robbie's testimony. You should hear about his testimony. But there's a war going on there, and a young man was killed. But things are going on, and the evils are going on. But we need to stay in faith. Amen. So we're going back again. Switch gears again. No. Okay, come back here. Okay, so we are the body of Christ. Everybody say, we are the body of Christ. Say, I am put into the body. Say, I am put into the body. Say, I was put into the body. That's grammar. My wife would tell me that. So right now, we're in the body of Christ. I mean, we're at Faith City Church. Faith City Church, the structure, the building of this place is really, this is not the church. The physical building is not the church. The body of Christ, the church, is the believer. The church, the building here, is just where we come to worship and do natural things. And so God has a plan. He has a plan for everything. He knows where you're supposed to be situated. He knows how to connect you with different people. And I don't know, when I got born again, you know, I had my own plan about what my life was going to be like, what I was going to do. I had my plan all worked out. I came from a background of addictions like some of these folks here. I got out of addictions, and I started to better myself. I took courses, I went to school, went to college, went to university, and I had a plan on what my life was going to be like. You know, the nice white house and picket fence and two dogs and cats and stuff. I had a plan. But God interrupted that plan and spoke to me and took me out and said to me, you are to come and you know, what are you going to do with what I've given you? That was the answer. You can come and sit down here, ma'am. Come on in, Mrs. Pearson. You can come and sit here. You can come right there, do what you want to do. You're the eldest person in this church. We know that you're 106, but you look fine. Yeah, she's one of our dearest sisters. You know, we always tease together, but I respect her very much. She respects me. And but, you know, we have a great time. We've been praying for many years together. Yeah. And she prayed for me. God told her to pray for me and my family for years. And I remember years ago when we first started the ministry, we didn't know one time how we were going to survive at Christmas time. A knock comes in the door. Here's this widow woman. This is the one here. She hands me a $500 check. This was about 30 years ago almost, maybe 28, 27 years ago. She knocks on the door. We just started the first year of ministry. I guess it's 29, 20, 30 years ago. And she hands me a $500, I think it was a check. Did you hand me a check? A $500. Well, if I don't know, I would mind that again soon. but she hands me a $500 check. You know, the Bible tells you don't know how it's going to happen. I was taken back by it. I mean, I needed the money, thank God. God will use, you know, you saw in 2 Kings, I believe it is, the third, fourth chapter there was a widow woman. I think it's maybe the fifth chapter or something. Well, you find it. Elijah was told to go to a town, and there'd be a widow woman who would help him out. So can you imagine the prophet going to a town for his ministry, and a widow woman was waiting for him to help him out in his ministry? Why didn't God, let me tell you, ask you that, why didn't God use the richest person in that city? Why did he use a widow woman? If you can answer that, I'll tell you the rest of the story. but it's amazing. It's amazing, though, what happens, right? How God puts this together. And God put us together. And we've been together ever since as a team. And so God knows what to do. I was mentioning last week, you know, last year about this time, I was just telling the story just to encourage people, because God can do things for you that you can't do for yourself. It's called the grace of God. And so last year about this time, we were broke, because after our building, we bought the building 2 years ago, and we had to, but the year before we had to lay people off the year before, right? Was it the year before? 2 years ago. So we laid people off for the full year. I mean, for a year has gone by. Now I'm telling a story because I'm kind of removed for 1 year forward. So we had a hard time with financially, and you don't know how God's going to bring finances to you. You know, we don't have any federal funding. We don't have government funding. We don't have big rallies to raise funds. It's all the generosity of people, whoever God speaks to, and that's why we're here. And so for me to come in the ministry, when I worked, I didn't, I don't like things, I like to work for myself and make money so that I can be self-sufficient. That's the way I believed I should be. I don't believe that I should be on welfare. I don't think you should be on welfare. I think you should be giving to welfare, the cause of society, to help society, right? I'm digging my hole, myself hole big, bigger and bigger here for a second. So anyway, I believe that, you know, God will bring things together. So we had, last year I said we were in, you know, we had to lay people off, and we just couldn't afford the pastors. I couldn't afford me. So I laid myself off. And I laid my wife off. We laid all of us off so that we can pick back up again. But thank God for you that can continue to give. So we were in debt. So this year we were back up $100,000 in our general account so that we can function as a church. And so on top of that, this year we needed $100,000 on top of that to run the extra, the children's wing over here. We have to do different things. Our furnace was giving us trouble. So all that was a part of it. So the Lord replaced not only the money back into our accounts, but also gave us an extra $100,000 for that part. God's good. God is very good. And he's generous, and so he puts people together. And whatever God calls you to do, I believe he calls you to, he'll fund it for you. So we will not go on television and say, look, we're going off air if you don't give money. No, you should go off air. That's right, right? You should go off air. If you can't afford it, get off air. So, thank God, that's my 2 cents. So we'll start the service now. Thank God, amen. So we've been talking about intercession prayer, and we've been focusing on the last 2 days during the daytime. We talked about at healing school about healing. And we talked about 2 things about healing school. Number one is how to receive healing for yourself. Number 2, how to minister healing to someone who needs it. And so we're trying to give people principles, Bible principles, spiritual laws, and how God works. I want to tell you something. There's lots of misconception, and I put on my Facebook, I put an advertising, we're going to have healing school, and we're going to show about prayer, faith, and healing on Wednesday night. Sunday morning, we're going to teach, along the same line, and on Sunday night, we want to pray for miracles of healing. And I believe God's instructed us to do that. A lot of times when you do stuff, nobody's with you right away. So as a leader, you have to step out and do stuff that nobody else wants to do. So as a church, this subject of healing has been terribly neglected in the church. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud. How many churches are doing regular healing services in their city or seminars? Jesus gave us a commission as a church to heal the sick. And where are all the healing evangelists? We see a lot of preachers. And the people who call themselves evangelists who travel are really not evangelists. They're just preachers or exhorters. Real evangelists, New Testament evangelists, are people that have signs, wonders, and miracles in their ministry when they preach. Okay, that's the truth about it. And on a regular basis. So I believe that God wants us to pray for the sick. I believe that the church should be one of the healthiest places to be. We need to follow instructions. So we're going to do that. And so I put that ad on the television, or at least on our ads, different ads, pages we have. And someone wrote, first of all, I got my backup. Like a cat, And somebody said, it's taking money away from people again, right? Stealing money, taking money from the poor, because I'm doing this seminar, see? We never charge anything. It's free. And then so they said, why don't you go to the hospitals and go to the sick children's hospital and pray for those kids? And why don't you go to the elderly and get them all healed there? So I started thinking about it for a while. I stew. I get mad at people because of their ignorance. And it's not the people. It's the enemy that's working behind people. See? So we forget sometimes, right? So I didn't make any comment about it. I left it on there. I said, you know what? I have nothing. I have no defense. I got nothing to hide. But I want to tell you something. First of all, we can't go to the hospitals because the hospitals won't let us. Secondly, I don't have a license to do that. Are you still here? I don't have a license to do that. And then we're commissioned to do it. And you can't pray for people unless they allow you to. And you can't force people. And I said, God gave Jesus Christ to the whole world that they'd be saved. Now the question is the whole world saved? Why? Because they have a free will. It's the same thing with healing. If you preach on healing, there'll be no healing. If you don't preach on salvation, there'll be no salvation. So you have to teach people, and that's what Jesus did. He traveled from town to town, and the Bible said he went, number one, teaching, number two, preaching, and number three, healing, just in that fashion. So you have no teaching. If you're not giving revelation, spiritual laws to people, they won't have faith. They can't have faith. And let me also tell you something. In this world, God is not in control in this world. God is not in control of this city. You know who's in control? The spirit of Antichrist or the devil, the Bible says. If you read your Bible and study it, don't criticize me if you haven't read your Bible. Okay, so you read your Bible and find out that the devil, he's the one that's controlling. He's the one that's causing death. He's the one that's causing accident. He's the one that's causing drug addiction. He's the one that's causing all these things. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world is blinding the people's minds and eyes that they can't see. And, Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says that the prince and part of air is now working in the children of disobedience. Because when there's things going on, there's the enemy working in the background. And if you can see this, we can study a little bit more Ezekiel and Isaiah. You can see that the enemy has a plan. God has a plan. The enemy has a plan. But God is always going to come up on top. He has the last word in your life. If you allow God to have the last word in your life and not be afraid of him, let the enemy push you around and say, you know what? I'm not taking this. We're not going to take it. We're not going to take it. We'll take that song and use it. We're going to have a rally. We're not going to take it rally. Okay. We're going to go to the teaching, I promise you. let's see here. What can we give you? Is this the right, the prayer of faith? Let's go to Mark 11:24. The prayer of faith. This is healing prayer, healing, and faith subject. But we're talking about the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24, the King James Version. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Therefore I say unto you," this is right after he begins to explain about the God kind of faith. And two principles about the God kind of faith. Number one, the God kind of faith is this. You have to believe in your heart. And let me explain that after in a moment, because that might not mean anything to you. Number two is say what you believe. Or, to put it very lightly, say it. How many people know that you don't have to pray about anything, everything in the Bible? Whatever God showed you in the Bible belongs to you. You don't have to pray about it. And you don't have to ask anybody to pray for you about it. All you have to do is say it. Amen. I got one amen. Hardly coming out to amen. I'm serious. I'm very serious. You see, people don't understand because they've never been taught. No one taught them about these things. I can't remember. I've been to church all my life. I was 24 years old. I was in a denominational church all my life. And I took one meeting. I was not even in church. I was at a church by television. I was in my home as a student going to Confederation College. And I heard Billy Graham says, "You must be born again." I said, "Well, I want to do that. I want to be born again. I'm hungry spiritually." I was going to church. I prayed every morning, every night. I was helping people in the community. I was doing good things in the community. I was feeling good about my life. And yet I didn't feel right. I knew there was nothing. Something missing. I was going to AA meetings 5 days a week. I'm reading the books they gave me. I'm going to church. I'm doing all these things. But something on the inside, I was missing something. And so when Billy Graham says, wherever you are, you can ask Jesus to come in your life and something will happen to you. Jesus and God will come into your side by the Holy Spirit come into you right now. I said, I want that. So I prayed. The moment I prayed, my life changed instantly. I said, instantly, my life changed. All of a sudden, it's like Matthew 4:16 says, the light came on. The people who sat in darkness saw a light. I saw the light. There was a song called, "I saw the light, I saw the light." How many people remember that song? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. I was in darkness. I was in prison. Spiritually speaking, I could not see. And all of a sudden, the light came on. I saw. And as they say, I always say this, and it seemed real to me. I said, when I came out, the day was brighter. I mean, the grass was greener, bluer sky. Dogs were more dog-eared. I mean, everything was wonderful. Do you remember that? Why did I tell this story? I don't know why I told this story. Let's go back to Mark 11. I'll come back to the story later. Mark 11 says, therefore, he says in here, I got it on my on this. I got on. I put my message on everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
And if, what's that pastor from, what's his name? He says everything. A pastor from, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about. What's his name? What's his name? Tim Sadler. How many people remember him, eh? So y'all didn't know I was a comedian before. You know, I was. Okay. Mark 11, 20 through 24. Therefore, we're going to erase this tape right after the session here. And no one take video. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive. Everyone say, believe that you receive. Everyone say, when I pray, the moment I pray, I have to believe that I receive. Okay, stop there for a moment. Keep that thought. Okay, so if you're praying for something, if you can't believe it, you're not ready to pray. If you can't believe, yes, I have it. Amen. If you can't say, thank you, Jesus, I got it, and you don't have it physically yet, then you're not ready to pray. And you can't smile and say, thank God. People say, we were reading that thing the other day. We're reading some healing book of some sort. It's a devotional, healing devotional. You should get the healing devotional. I read them. I don't wait till the next day. I read the whole thing sometimes. That's why I'm not good at reading novels. I go to the back. What happened to this guy? How many people are like me? Huh? I can't read a book. I got to say, what happens to him? What happens to him? What's happening next? Okay. Believe that you receive them. And I want you to notice the last section. Ye shall have them. Ye shall have them refers to sooner or later, tomorrow, whatever. But you have to believe you got it before it's in your hand. That's faith. That's called the prayer of faith. You have to believe that you got something when you pray before you actually physically have it. This is a spiritual law. This is a law of the Spirit. You see, you got to have hope before you got to have faith. Hope, Bible hope, is confident expectation. Confident, you know, hope in our everyday language, and most people, hope is like, oh, I might have it. I hope, like, it's not really going to materialize. Hoping means, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but, you know, it's good to have a good thinking and feeling about it. But hope is a vision and a goal that you have that I'm going to have that because God says I can have that. It's an aim. And so you have to receive that. And what happens is that God, that faith makes your hope come alive. So when you know you have faith, that when you know you receive something, you have joy in your heart. Woo. And then you also have peace about it. Even though everything's in disarray and doesn't look good, you got peace. Jesus said you can have peace in the midst of trouble and trials. Remember in the 16th chapter of John, and 33rd verse. He said, in this world you'll have trouble, tribulation, tests, and trials, frustrations, whatever. In this world you'll have tests and trials, you'll have trouble. But he said, what did he say? But be of good cheer. Okay, let me ask you, how does good cheer or cheer sound like? Yeah, that's what it sounds like when you're having trouble. But most people, they don't have that because they don't have any hope that things are going to happen because no one's taught them spiritual laws. So they still continue to look. Did you pray, yeah? We're hoping. No, you're not hoping. That's not Bible hope. You know, when they say this, you know, when something bad happens, they say, oh, we're hoping and praying. We're hoping and praying. No, they're not. They're not. Not Bible hope. That's like a worldly hope. Bible hope teaches us different things. So Jesus said, come back here. He said, therefore I say to you, he had just finished teaching, as I mentioned to you, when I got off track earlier again. He just finished teaching about the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Verse 22. If you back up to verse 22. There it is. Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. The correct translation of this verse means have the God kind of faith. Jesus is encouraging us and showing us. Then he begins to explain verse 22 in the next breath, verse 23. Go to verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, everybody say, say. Amen. Who shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Where is it? Doubt in his heart. What's your heart? Your heart is your spirit. It's the part of you that got born again in God. Your heart is born again when you got saved. So he said, believe in your heart because, you know, your head is going to give you trouble, but you still have to believe in your heart. So he says, believe in your heart, but shall believe, that is, in your heart, believe in your heart, not your head. He didn't say, believe with your feelings. He didn't say, believe with the circumstances. He didn't say, believe with all your feelings and might. No, he said, believe with your heart. But shall believe that those things, listen to this, those things which he said shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he said. In other words, Jesus said, if you have the God kind of faith, if you do it this way, this is the way you do it. Two main ingredients when you're praying the prayer of faith. And you have to know this before you pray any other prayer that you'll ever utter in your whole life. The prayer of faith is the basis of all other kind of praying that you will ever do in this world. Otherwise, your prayer will never work, properly at least, the way it's supposed to work unless you learn this one first. You cannot intercede. You can't pray the prayer of agreement with somebody. You can't pray the prayer of binding, loosing. You can't pray of casting your cares upon the Lord, the stress-relieving prayer, because you can't pray the prayer of consecration, dedication, to submit to God, his plan, his will, and purpose. You can't do all those prayers or pray the prayer of supplication for somebody else. You cannot pray all those prayers unless you know this baby here. Are you following this? Can you say amen? Okay, so Jesus said, yeah, there's two principles here. There's two principles. Everybody said two principles. Yeah. Said two principles. Yeah. Two principles. Number one is that you must believe with your heart. Now that term will be verified in other portions of Scripture, what that means, believe with your heart. What does it mean, believe with your heart? Does it mean that believe with your heart that pumps your blood? No, that's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. Your heart is your spirit, man. That means you're going to believe. Believing with your heart means you're going to believe independent of sense, knowledge, evidence. You're going to believe independent of whatever everybody else's opinion about it is, including a doctor, if you're believing this way, if you want to live. Yeah, I realize he's gone to 7 years of school. But God has been, he created school. He created the body. He created everything. Amen. Now we trust doctors, thank God. We have, your daughter, your son-in-law is a doctor. I mean, we had a girl here Sunday morning. She wants to join the church. She's a doctor. Thank God for doctors. I thank God for my doctor. She's a beautiful lady. I visit her every week. No, I'm just kidding. But she's a beautiful woman. And she, we'll talk about that next time. Anyway. Well, we want to praise, we want to thank God for doctors, right? I love my doctor. I don't know about you. Okay, so number one, believing with the heart means you're believing, you're going to believe with your spirit. You're not believing with your feelings. You're not believing with your mind. You're not believing what the circumstances tell you. You're not believing what a popular opinion is. You're not believing what anybody else says. You're going to believe with your spirit. What are you going to believe? You're going to believe the Bible. You're going to believe what God said. So the second thing that makes it work, you just recognize this. When you believe it with the heart, you can say it this way, I'm believing independent of my senses. Because your heart is not your feelings. Your heart is not your mind. If you understand spirit, soul, body in the New Testament, if you understand your spirit being, 1 Corinthians 5:23, you're a spirit being, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You cannot walk by your soul in this life and have victory. You cannot walk by how you feel. Now, thank God that you can feel. I love my wife. I feel for my wife. That's important. Okay, so those feelings are real. But I can't walk. I can't say, I don't have feeling for my wife today. I guess I don't love her. No, that's a decision I made. It's a principle that I love my wife. I made a commitment to be with her. Tell, we're not here anymore. So that's a principle. So. Mark 11:23. He says the first principle is believing with your heart. In other words, you're believing with the inside man. You're believing with your sense knowledge without sense knowledge. I want to give you an example of what that means about Jesus and Thomas. The second principle here is that you have to believe what you say. But your saying must be within the realm of what God says you can have. Your saying or your words have to be in line with what God says you can have. You can have anything what the Bible says you can have. You can have salvation. You can have being filled with the Spirit. You can have healing as the Bible says. You can have prosperity. You can have success. You can have whatever the Bible says you can have. If it's in the Bible, if it's thus says the Lord, you can have it. Because God already said it. If God already said it, and you just begin to take it because he belongs to you as a family member, like my kids don't ever say, God, Lord. No, they don't say that. They don't say, God, can you, Dad, can I have butter?
No, no butter.
My kids don't come to me and say, yeah. They don't say, I wonder if I can have a piece of bread tonight. Hey, I said, it's yours. Have all the butter you want. Eh? Right? It belongs to them. They belong to our family. Yeah. But in special cases, say if you want the car, that's a different story. Yeah. They have to have special faith for that. Okay. Okay, so two things. Number one, you have to believe with your heart. Second one, you have to believe in your words. And this is the hardest thing for people. The hardest thing in people in this world is to believe their own words. They'll say all kinds of things, and that's why their faith is weak. They violate their faith every day. Say, I'll see you next week. I'll see you Thursday. And they never show up Thursday. You know what? I'm going to get that for you. I'm going to buy that for you. I'll get that. I'm going to get that for you. And they never do it. Oh, I'm going to clean out the garbage over there. I'll come back, tomorrow. And they never come back. And so they keep violating. They don't believe in their own words. And when they're talking to God and praying, they think that God is like them. That God, when God says something, he's not good on his word. You know, we are as good as our word is.
Amen.
So, two principles. Jesus said, this is how the God kind of faith is. God believed he could do it. God spoke everything in existence because he believed he could do it.
Yeah.
He's God. And for us, if it's written, if we begin to believe it's written, independent of what anybody says, you got to say it. You got to speak it. You got to confess it, however you want to put it. Go to verse 24. And so now that you know, you got to have the God kind of faith, and now that you know this, it goes by two principles, then you can pray this prayer. That's why you must believe that you receive, because you're not depending on how you feel. You're not depending on whatever the doctor said. You're not depending on what the social research said. You're not depending on anything else except what God says. You're believing. Well, therefore, when I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, desire is just a desire. It's not, you don't have it yet. Desire, whatever things you desire, when you pray, the moment you're praying, believe that you receive them. And then what happens? And you shall have it. So people do this, they pray for something, and they leave the prayer time, and they say things that is, oh, I hope it comes through. You know they're not believing. And then they get worried. Because their mind tells them something else. Or what they heard before is disturbing them, so they get emotionally disrupted or interrupted or get upset. So if you understand spirit, soul, body, if we teach you right, that's what I learned, you know, in Bible school. Everybody should learn it in the church. You have to understand spirit, soul, body. First of all, you're a spirit being. You possess a soul. What is your soul? Your soul encompasses your thought life, your emotions, your imaginations, and your will. Your will is not always perfect in God. Because you want to do a lot of things that you want to do outside of the will of God. Sometimes. I'll tell you this, when I got saved, I didn't become as wonderful and beautiful as I am today. Wonderful guy, beautiful man. So it took me a while to work on God took time to work on me. Because when I talked to my pastor, Pastor Kevin, he used to be my pastor. He tells me how terrible I am. He used to tell me, you know, you used to do this, you used to do that. I said, I never did such a thing. I couldn't believe it was me he's talking to. Referring to, I mean. So, you know, many of you probably have made lots of mistakes as a Christian since you got born again. You've made horrible mistakes. And you're probably embarrassed. How could God ever love you? And why would God ever help you? Because you made such a mess of your life. After I got saved, I made so many mistakes. And when God called me, supernaturally called me, I wondered, is this really true? Why would you call me? Me. Huh? And that's what we feel like. But God sees you in Christ. You're seeing you in you. And we're seeing each other in the flesh. The Bible says we must look at each other according to what the Bible says, how God sees us. So, what that prayer actually does is these things here. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith, we're praying the prayer of faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Just like it said in Mark 11:23-24. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith takes a hold or takes the place of what's not seen yet. If you got something, you don't have to believe anymore. You don't have to use any faith as something you got in the natural anymore. It's the end of faith. You don't need it because it's the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Some people said, did you get that? Yes, I got it. Well, you don't look any better than you. No, I got it. My faith is here. It's in the Word. God says here that I have it. So I'm sticking with that. If you fall off that, you're not going to get it. You'll be staggering, just like James chapter 1 says, let a man ask in faith, nothing wavering. The word wavering refers to the person who's doubt. He said, he's like a wave of the sea. The man who doubts is like the wave of the sea. He's being tossed about and not getting anything from God. See? Because maybe you've been wavering for 4 years, some of you. Maybe 10 years, some of you. And you still haven't got it because you haven't learned the first thing. That is to stay in faith, to stay independent of your sense knowledge. And people are, most Christians that I know, that I really work with, they pray prayers, but they go back into the natural. They go back into the soulish realm, and they get moved by the sense knowledge. What does 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says? We walk by faith, or you could say we walk by, because the word faith and the Word of God are synonymous terms. We walk by the Word of God, the Bible, or Scriptures. We walk by the script, or you know, the principles of the Scriptures. We walk by the Word of God, not by sight. Or sight means, you know, natural sense knowledge. Sight means natural sense knowledge, not just this, which I, but every, all your senses. Because we, as people in the natural, we learn everything by sense knowledge. We've neglected to build our spirit. When it comes to hearing God, your spirit should be able to understand and hear God, because our soul is so loud that it cannot hear the inner man speaking. Because your voice, your inner voice, which is your conscience, has a, your spirit has a voice that's called conscience. And when you neglect that, it becomes so indistinct that you don't know that your God's talking to you through your conscience or through your spirit. When I say your soul is so loud, it means that I'm going to show you this as an illustration. People are not believing is because they have so much anger in their lives. They can't hear God. They got so much self-pity in their lives, they can't hear God. They got so much problem with resentment. They can't hear God. Some of the easiest things for us to understand is to realize that God is talking to us all the time. When I first met my wife, we went out for like a coffee date. Do you remember that? She remembers it. Because she got mad at me the first night we went out for a coffee date. Because I was so stupid. I told her, you know, I was like Joseph. Remember Joseph in the story in Genesis? Joseph? Joseph told his brothers, na 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 na, I'm going to be a star. Na 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 na, and you're going to bow down to me. How many remember that? Huh? I told my wife, I said, we're talking, you know, and I get to, I try to flex my spiritual muscles. and we all do that sometimes as Christians, you know. We get around and we talk about how much we know about God. How many scriptures, how many Bibles we read. So I said to my wife, I said, you know what you're going to do when what God wants you to do? She said, no, not really. I said, well, I do. I just wanted to have my say, right? what I want to tell her. So I told her all these wonderful things, just like na 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 na. I'm like him, see? And she's mad at me. Drinking her coffee. Arrogant guy, she says. He's an arrogant. Who wants to be with this guy? Even back then, I'm trying to teach. It's in me, right? So anyway, we didn't have supper tonight somewhere. Anyway. So you don't want to be that wavering guy. You don't want to waver. You want to harness your soul. So you got to be able to do what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says. You're going to have to cast on every thought that disobeys God's will. Every thought, you got to take it captive. You have to cast on every thought that's contrary to what you prayed about according to God's word. Because the enemy will make sure that he'll disturb you enough emotionally and put pressure on you so that you quit. James chapter 2 says that the enemy will put pressure on you so much that you will relent and let go of the promises of God. Now, let's go with that scripture I wanted to tell you about Jesus and Thomas. John chapter 20. I always say I'm going to go into my scriptures and follow my format, and I always go by this here, by my spirit. But it's all there, okay? There are things, six things we should do. Okay, go to John 20. I promise you we'll get you out of here in 7 minutes. The pastor lied. John chapter 7. Or John 20. See? There's so much questions in here. In this auditorium right now, there's so many questions that people have. How many people have a question? Let me see your hand. You had a question. Let me see your hand. Just lift your hand for a second. You had a question. See? I'm going to tell you. Because my spirit is jumping everywhere to try to answer your question. That's called discerning a spirit. How many people know that there's a gift in the pastor called discerning a spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Okay, so John 20. Jesus was gone. The disciples were in that room together. So Thomas, remember Thomas? He was not there. Where was Thomas? Robbins? Was it Robbins or Tim Hortons? Okay, so anyway, he went out. He was not there. Okay, so. But Thomas, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples, verse 25, therefore said unto him, that is Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Remember that. We have seen the Lord with their eyes. But he said unto them, except I shall see, or unless I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's big. Some of you say the same thing. Unless God gives me a sign here. Maybe I didn't feel anything when I prayed. You know, usually when I pray, I just get a little, something happens to me. Huh? I said to you guys when I was 8 years old, these Pentecostals, you know, we're Catholics. They came to our reserve, and all the grannies were sitting around the fire, and they prayed for my granny. I'm watching those Pentecostal men. And they're shaking away. It scared me, but I thought, this is so amusing. And I enjoyed it, but I was afraid of it, too. I didn't know what was going on. So I told the people, when we send you to the hospital, you're not going to do that. I said, because they'll kick you out so fast, they will not let you back in there again. You're scaring people. Unless you want to shoot bombs from your prayer room. Scud missiles, right? So you're in your prayer closet and you're praying for them and you're just shooting a healing over there. So let's read here. After 8 days, again, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hand. Behold thy hands, and reach hither into my side. Thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Wasn't God so good that actually he came to Peter to his level, or to Thomas' level? Sometimes God will do that, but not always. But this is what he said. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me." Because you have seen me. That's sense, knowledge, evidence. He's seeing him, seeing Jesus right there with his eyes. "And you have believed. Blessed are they which have not seen me and yet believe." That's talking about the rest of us. See, he's using this. This is recorded so that we can learn from this. How could you believe in something you haven't seen? How in the world can you believe something you have not seen? Of course, you know, I'm talking about natural. You believe. He's believing with the natural. He's believing with his education of what he received and learning from his sense knowledge. But there's another side to us, and that is our spirit. We have to believe the scripture, the spiritual knowledge that God has given us. We see everything with the eye of faith. And you can see in the realm of spirit through this. And, of course, if God shows you through the gifts of the Spirit something, you can receive something. The hardest thing for a Christian to learn is to praise God and thank God for something they don't have yet. Because their soul is so loud. Their mind is talking to them so loud, saying you don't have it. Why are you worshiping? Why do you lift your hands up and thanking God? You don't even have it yet. That's what's going on in you. There's a story in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus said to a man who had a son who had epileptic seizures, seemingly, and was jumped into the fire or was thrown into the fire repeatedly. Jesus said to him in verse 23, "All things are possible to him who believes." All things. And he was referring to the guys who had a son who was very sick. Now, this man went to his disciples before, if I'm not mistaken, went to his disciples and they couldn't cast him out. Because they were out of whack as well. But when Jesus came, he said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long should I put up with you? Bring that child to me and talk to the dad. Dad, how long has this child been like this way?" He said, "Oh, since he was a kid." He didn't ask him anything else, only what he needed to ask him. Jesus said, "All things are possible to him who believes." No, the man said before that, he said, "If you can do anything for me, if you can do anything for me," and lots of people saying that, "God, if you can do anything for me." Jesus said, "It's not what I can do for you." He turns around, puts it back, the responsibility on him. He said, "It's not what I can do, it's what you can believe. Because all things are possible. Will you believe me, my words, will you believe my scripture, even when everything is saying to you that you're not going to get it?" That's what he's saying. Will you still stand for a while until that manifests in your life? Will you continue to stand even when you seemingly you're getting worse than where you were before? That's what he's talking about. If you're prepared to do that and to stand, you're going to get it. You will get what you prayed about. Because Jesus said, "You'll have what you say." So thank God for that. So he said, "All things apart." The man says, "Okay." And the man says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." What's he saying? He's saying that, "Lord, I believe in my heart, but my head has given me trouble." And a lot of people step off right there. See, when you start believing, your head's going to give you trouble. You're going to have to believe in spite of your head. Brother Hagin used to tell us, you're going to have to believe in spite of your stupid head. Right? So that's the only way it's going to come. The prayer of faith works that way. The prayer of faith calls those things to be not as though they were. So tonight, that's the best I can do. The best I can do. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 to 2, or maybe a little more, I'm going to teach you 7 ways of the 17 methods. On how to receive and minister healing. Let's all stand, please. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you. Can we lift our hands in, by faith? The Bible says, but with holy hands, we lift up faith. We lift our hands to heaven and thank God. Thank God for the word you heard. Lord, I thank you. Say, I don't understand it, but listen, God will make it come back to you. Oh, he's working on you. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Father, we praise you. We give you praise and glory. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the word of faith. Oh, we're changing, Lord. We're changing our ways. We know life is going to get better. He said in Jeremiah 31, verse 17, that there's hope in our future. If there's a God, there is hope in your future. Thank God. I call you blessed, every one of you. I call you healed according to the word of God. I call you successful in everything you do. I call you strong when you don't feel strong in the name of Jesus. I call you healed. I call in the best days. Your best days are ahead of you than what you experienced. Your best days are ahead of you. Although you had a rougher start, well, I'm going to tell you your days are going to get better because you got the word of God. God has got a hold of you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We give you glory and thanks and offering. And we thank you that we're about to see signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of healing. We're going to see mamas and daddies back in church. We're going to see children come back to the kingdom of God. Wayward people. Oh, thank you. We're going to thank you for ministries that are being developed. Ministers being developed. Families, stronger families. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. I want every eye closed for one moment and ask you a question. One question, please. One question for everybody in this room. You're born again. Or maybe you're not born again. If you've never been born again, you can be born again right now. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior publicly, this is your opportunity right now to be born again. And your life will change and move in a different direction. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you said, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. If you've never had the opportunity to do that, I want to ask you right now, every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask you right now, well, just flip up your hand and say, thank you, God. I want to get saved. I want to be born again. Is that you? Is there somebody here right now, the sound of my voice? Say, Pastor, I want to pray. Just lift up your hand very quickly. I want to look at you. We're not going to embarrass you. Take long. Thank you, Jesus. Second question, if there's somebody here that you're born again, you need to make the next step to serving God 100%. You need to come in line with God's word, follow God 100%, and enjoy the blessings of God, enjoy the victory you've never had. Oh, yeah, you're doing okay. You got a nice job. Things are going well. Money's coming in, but there's something missing in your life. Is there something like that? Say right here, now, Pastor, I want you to pray with me right now. I want to make this a change in my life. Anybody like that? Lift your hand right up quickly. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else besides this one woman here that says yes? Anybody? Let me see your hand. That's you. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you said that, if you lift up your hand, I want us all to pray this prayer. And if you're watching online live stream, I want to tell you right now, you too, you can make this decision. I made that decision many years ago. And my life has changed. Let's pray together. Say, dear God in heaven, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he's a gift to this world. And I receive him as my gift of salvation. I believe you sent him and he died for me. and he went to hell for me for 3 days, and he rose from the dead, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. I believe that. And right now, according to your word, I am born again. I'm saved. I'm your child. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, any of you, you are now born again. Thank God. Amen. Praise God. Give everybody a great hand. Thank you for staying with us. Praise God. Amen. And if you want to talk with us, we're going to be around the front here for a while. If you need extra prayer, we'll pray with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. See you tomorrow.